low-impact sport that can be played anywhere, and it's a good excuse to move around and have fun as a group. The residents hold local competitions, and there is no age limit for participants. We participate in the weekly game and lose to a woman who recently turned 104. Everyone cheers, and the defeated look on our faces elicits laughter. In addition to playing and celebrating as a community, spirituality is also essential to the happiness of the village's residents. The gods of Okinawa. The main religion in Okinawa is known as Ryukyu Shinto. Ryukyu is the original name of the Okinawa archipelago, and Shinto means the path of the gods. Ryukyu Shinto combines elements of Chinese Taoism, Confucianism, Buddhism, and Shintoism with shamanistic and animistic elements. According to this ancient faith, the world is populated by an infinite number of spirits divided into several types: spirits of the home, of the forest, of the trees, and of the mountains. It's important to appease these spirits through rituals and festivals, and by consecrating sacred grounds. Okinawa is full of sacred jungles and forests, where many of the two main kinds of temples are found, the Utaki and the Uganju. We visited an Uganju, or small open-air temple, adorned with incense and coins, next to a waterfall in Ogimi. The Utaki is a collection of stones where people go to pray and where, supposedly, spirits gather. In Okinawa's religious practice, women are considered spiritually superior to men, whereas the opposite is true of traditional Shintoism in the rest of Japan. Yuta are women chosen as mediums by their communities to make contact with the spirit realm through traditional rites. Ancestor worship is another important feature of spiritual practice in Okinawa and in Japan in general. The home of each generation's firstborn usually contains a butsudan, or small altar, used to pray for and make offerings to the family's ancestors. Mabui. Every person has an essence, or mabui. This mabui is our spirit and the source of our life force. It is immortal and makes us who we are. Sometimes the mabui of someone who has died is trapped in the body of a living person. This situation requires a separation ritual to free the mabui of the deceased. It often happens when a person dies suddenly, especially at a young age, and his or her mabui does not want to move on to the realm of the dead. A mabui can also be passed from person to person by physical contact. A grandmother who leaves her granddaughter a ring transfers a part of her mabui to her. Photographs can also be a medium for passing mabui among people. The older, the stronger. Looking back, our days in Ogimi were intense but relaxed, sort of like the lifestyle of the locals, who always seemed to be busy with important tasks, but who, upon closer inspection, did everything with a sense of calm. They were always pursuing their ikigai, but they were never in a rush. Not only did they seem to be happily busy, but we also noticed that they followed the other principles for happiness that Washington Burnap stated 200 years ago. The grand essentials to happiness in this life are something to do, something to love, and something to hope for. On our last day, we went to buy gifts at a small market at the edge of town. The only things sold there are local vegetables, green tea, and shikawasa juice, along with bottles of water from a spring hidden in the Yanburu forests, bearing labels that read, "Longevity Water." We bought ourselves some of this longevity water and drank it in the parking lot, looking out over the sea and hoping that the little bottles that promised a magic elixir would bring us health and long life and would help us find our own ikigai. Then we took a photo with a statue of Abuna Gaya and walked up to it one last time to read the inscription. A declaration from the town where people live longest. At 80, I am still a child. When I come to see you at 90, send me away to wait until I am 100. the older the stronger. Let us not depend too much on our children as we age. If you seek long life and health, you are welcome in our village, where you will be blessed by nature, and together we will discover the secret to longevity. April 23, 1993, Ogimi Federation of Senior Citizens Clubs. The interviews. Over the course of a week, we conducted a total of 100 interviews, asking the eldest members of the community about their life philosophy, their ikigai, and the secrets to longevity. We filmed these conversations with two cameras for use in a little documentary and chose a few especially meaningful and inspiring statements to include in this section of the audiobook. 1. Don't worry. The secret to a long life is not to worry and to keep your heart young. Don't let it grow old. Open your heart to people with a nice smile on your face. If you smile and open your heart, your grandchildren and everyone else will want to see you. The best way to avoid anxiety is to go out in the street and say hello to people. I do it every day. I go out there and say hello and see you later. Then I go home and care for my vegetable garden. In the afternoon, I spend time with friends. Here, everyone gets along. We try not to cause problems. Spending time together and having fun is the only thing that matters. 2. Cultivate good habits. I feel joy every morning, waking up at 6 and opening the curtains to look out at my garden, where I grow my own vegetables. I go right outside to check on my tomatoes, my mandarin oranges. I love the sight of them. It relaxes me. After an hour in the garden, I go back inside and make breakfast. I plant my own vegetables and cook them myself. That's my ikigai. The key to staying sharp in old age is in your fingers. From your fingers to your brain and back again. If you keep your fingers busy, you'll live to see 100. I get up at 4 every day. I set my alarm for that time, have a cup of coffee, and do a little exercise, lifting my arms. That gives me energy for the rest of the day. I eat a bit of everything. I think that's the secret. I like variety in what I eat. I think it tastes better. Working. If you don't work, your body breaks down. When I wake up, I go to the butsudan and light incense. You have to keep your ancestors in mind. It's the first thing I do every morning. I wake up every day at the same time, early, and spend the morning in my vegetable garden. I go dancing with my friends once a week. I do exercise every day, and every morning I go for a little walk. I never forget to do my Taiso exercises when I get up. Eating vegetables, it helps you live longer. To live a long time, you need to do 3 things. Exercise to stay healthy, eat well, and spend time with people. 3. Nurture your friendships every day. Getting together with my friends is my most important ikigai. We all get together here and talk. It's very important. I always know I'll see them all here tomorrow, and that's one of my favorite things in life. My main hobby is getting together with friends and neighbors. Talking each day with the people you love, that's the secret to a long life. I say hello and see you later to the children on their way to school and wave at everyone who goes by me in their car. Drive safely, I say. Between 7:20 a.m. and 8:15 a.m., I'm outside on my feet the whole time, saying hello to people. Once everyone's gone, I go back inside. Chatting and drinking tea with my neighbors, that's the best thing in life. And singing together. I wake up at 5 every morning, leave the house, and walk to the sea. Then I go to a friend's house and we have tea together. That's the secret to a long life, getting together with people and going from place to place. 4. Live an unhurried life. My secret to a long life is always saying to myself, slow down and relax. You live much longer if you're not in a hurry. I make things with wicker. That's my ikigai. The first thing I do when I wake up is pray. Then I do my exercises and eat breakfast. At 7, I calmly start working on my wicker. When I get tired at 5, I go visit my friends. Doing many different things every day. Always staying busy, but doing one thing at a time without getting overwhelmed. The secret to long life is going to bed early, waking up early, and going for a walk. Living peacefully and enjoying the little things. Getting along with your friends. Spring, summer, fall, winter. Enjoying each season happily. 5. Be optimistic. Every day I say to myself, today will be full of health and energy. Live it to the fullest. I'm 98, but consider myself young. I still have so much to do. Laugh. Laughter is the most important thing. I laugh wherever I go. I'm going to live to be 100. Of course I am. It's a huge motivation for me. Dancing and singing with your grandchildren is the best thing in life. I feel very fortunate to have been born here. I give thanks for it every day. The most important thing in Ogimi, in life, is to keep smiling. I do volunteer work to give back to the village a bit of what it has given to me. For example, I use my car to help friends get to the hospital. There's no secret to it. The trick is just to live. Keys to the Ogimi lifestyle. 100% of the people we interviewed keep a vegetable garden, and most of them also have fields of tea, mangoes, shikawasa, and so on. All belong to some form of neighborhood association where they feel cared for as though by family. They celebrate all the time, even little things. Music, song, and dance are essential parts of daily life. They have an important purpose in life, or several. They have an ikigai, but they don't take it too seriously. They're relaxed and enjoy all that they do. They are very proud of their traditions and local culture. They are passionate about everything they do, however insignificant it might seem. Locals have a strong sense of yui ma'aru, recognizing the connection between people. They help each other with everything from work in the fields, harvesting sugarcane or planting rice, to building houses and municipal projects. Our friend Miyagi, who ate dinner with us on our last night in town, told us that he was building a new home with the help of all his friends, and that we could stay there the next time we were in Ogimi. They are always busy, but they occupy themselves with tasks that allow them to relax. We didn't see a single old grandpa sitting on a bench doing nothing. They're always coming and going to sing karaoke, visit with neighbors, or play a game of gateball. Chapter 7. The Ikigai Diet. What the world's longest living people eat and drink. According to the World Health Organization, Japan has the highest life expectancy in the world, 85 years for men and 87.3 years for women. Moreover, it has the highest ratio of centenarians in the world, more than 520 for every million people, as of September 2016. While life expectancy in Japan is high overall, Okinawa exceeds the national average. Okinawa is one of the areas in Japan that were most affected by World War II. As a result, not only of conflicts on the battlefield, but also of hunger and a lack of resources once the war ended, the average life expectancy was not very high during the 1940s and 1950s. As Okinawans recovered from the destruction, however, they came to be some of the country's longest living citizens. What secrets to long life do the Japanese hold? What is it about Okinawa that makes it the best of the best in terms of life expectancy? Experts point out that, for one thing, Okinawa is the only province in Japan without trains. Its residents have to walk or cycle when not driving. It's also the only province that has managed to follow the Japanese government's recommendation of eating less than 10 grams of salt per day. Okinawa's Miracle Diet. The mortality rate from cardiovascular disease in Okinawa is the lowest in Japan, and diet almost certainly has a lot to do with this. It's no coincidence that the Okinawa diet is so often discussed around the world at panels on nutrition. The most concrete and widely cited data on diet in Okinawa came from studies by Makoto Suzuki, a cardiologist at the University of Ryukyu, who has published more than 700 scientific articles on nutrition and aging in Okinawa since 1970. Bradley J. Wilcox and D. Craig Wilcox joined Makoto Suzuki's research team and published a book considered the Bible on the subject, The Okinawa Program. They reached the following conclusions. Locals eat a wide variety of foods, especially vegetables. Variety seems to be key. A study of Okinawa's centenarians showed that they ate 206 different foods, including spices, on a regular basis. They ate an average of 18 different foods each day, a striking contrast to the nutritional poverty of our fast food culture. They eat at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. At least 7 types of fruits and vegetables are consumed by Okinawans on a daily basis. The easiest way to check if there's enough variety on your table is to make sure you're eating the rainbow. A table featuring red peppers, carrots, spinach, cauliflower, and eggplant, for example, offers great color and variety. Vegetables, potatoes, legumes, and soy products, such as tofu, are the staples of an Okinawan's diet. More than 30% of their daily calories come from vegetables. Grains are the foundation of their diet. Japanese people eat white rice every day, sometimes adding noodles. Rice is the primary food in Okinawa as well. They rarely eat sugar. And if they do, it's cane sugar. We drove through several sugarcane fields every morning on our way to Ogimi, and even drank a glass of cane juice at Nakijin Castle. Beside the stall selling the juice was a sign describing the anti-carcinogenic benefits of sugarcane. In addition to these basic dietary principles, Okinawans eat fish an average of 3 times per week. Unlike in other parts of Japan, the most frequently consumed meat is pork, though locals eat it only once or twice per week. Along these lines, Makoto Suzuki's studies indicate the following. Okinawans consume, in general, 1/3 as much sugar as the rest of Japan's population, which means that sweets and chocolate are much less a part of their diet. They also eat practically half as much salt as the rest of Japan, 7 grams per day compared to an average of 12. They consume fewer calories, an average of 1,785 per day compared to 2,068 in the rest of Japan. In fact, low caloric intake is common among the 5 blue zones. Harahachibu. This brings us back to the 80% rule we mentioned in the first chapter, a concept known in Japanese as harahachibu. It's easy to do. When you notice you're almost full but could have a little more, just stop eating. One easy way to start applying the concept of harahachibu is to skip dessert, or to reduce portion size. The idea is to still be a little bit hungry when you finish. This is why portion size tends to be much smaller in Japan than in the West. Food isn't served as appetizers, main courses, and dessert. Instead, it's much more common to see everything presented at once on small plates. One with rice, another with vegetables, a bowl of miso soup, and something to snack on. Serving food on many small plates makes it easier to avoid eating too much and facilitates the varied diet discussed at the beginning of this chapter. Harahachibu is an ancient practice. The 12th century book on Zen Buddhism, Zazen Yojinki, recommends eating 2/3 as much as you might want to. Eating less than one might want is common among all Buddhist temples in the East. Perhaps Buddhism recognized the benefits of limiting caloric intake more than 9 centuries ago. So, eat less to live longer? Few would challenge this idea. Without taking it to the extreme of malnutrition, of course, eating fewer calories than our bodies ask for seems to increase longevity. The key to staying healthy while consuming fewer calories is eating foods with a high nutritional value, especially superfoods, and avoiding those that add to our overall caloric intake but offer little to no nutritional value. The calorie restriction we've been discussing is one of the most effective ways to add years to your life. If the body regularly consumes enough or too many calories, it gets lethargic and starts to wear down, expending significant energy on digestion alone. Another benefit of calorie restriction is that it reduces levels of IGF-1, insulin-like growth factor 1, in the body. IGF-1 is a protein that plays a significant role in the aging process. It seems that one of the reasons humans and animals age is an excess of this protein in their blood. Whether calorie restriction will extend lifespan in humans is not yet known, but data increasingly indicate that moderate calorie restriction with adequate nutrition has a powerful protective effect against obesity, type 2 diabetes, inflammation, hypertension, and cardiovascular disease, and reduces metabolic risk factors associated with cancer. An alternative to following the 80% rule on a daily basis is to fast for 1 or 2 days each week. The 5-2, or fasting diet, recommends 2 days of fasting, consuming fewer than 500 calories every week, and eating normally on the other 5 days. Among its many benefits, fasting helps cleanse the digestive system and allows it to rest. 15 natural antioxidants found in the Okinawan diet. Antioxidants are molecules that slow down the oxidation process in cells, neutralizing the free radicals that cause damage and accelerate aging. The antioxidant power of green tea, for example, is well known and will be discussed later at greater length. Because they are rich in antioxidants and are eaten nearly every day in the region, these 15 foods are considered keys to Okinawan vitality. Tofu, miso, tuna, carrots, goya, a bitter melon, kombu, sea kelp, cabbage, nori, seaweed, onion, soy sprouts, hechima, a cucumber-like gourd, soybeans, boiled or raw, sweet potato, peppers, and sanpin cha, jasmine tea. Sanpin cha, the reigning infusion in Okinawa. Okinawans drink more sanpin cha, a mix of green tea and jasmine flowers, than any other kind of tea. The closest approximation in the West would be the jasmine tea that usually comes from China. A 1988 study conducted by Hiroko Sho at the Okinawa Institute of Science and Technology indicates that jasmine tea reduces blood cholesterol levels. Sanpin cha can be found in many different forms in Okinawa and is even available in vending machines. In addition to all the antioxidant benefits of green tea, it boasts the benefits of jasmine, which include reducing the risk of heart attack, strengthening the immune system, helping relieve stress, lowering cholesterol. Okinawans drink an average of 3 cups of sanpin cha every day. It might be hard to find exactly the same blend in the West, but we can drink jasmine tea or even a high-quality green tea instead. The secrets of green tea. Green tea has been credited for centuries with significant medicinal properties. Recent studies have confirmed its many benefits and have attested to the importance of this ancient plant in the longevity of those who drink it often. Originally from China, where it's been consumed for millennia, green tea didn't make its way to the rest of the world until just a few centuries ago. Unlike other teas, and as a result of being air-dried without fermentation, it retains its active elements even after being dried and crumbled. It offers meaningful health benefits such as controlling cholesterol, lowering blood sugar levels, improving circulation, protection against the flu, vitamin C, promoting bone health, fluoride, protection against certain bacterial infections, protection against UV damage, cleansing and diuretic effects. White tea, with its high concentration of polyphenols, may be even more effective against aging. In fact, it's considered to be the natural product with the greatest antioxidant power in the world, to the extent that 1 cup of white tea might pack the same punch as a dozen glasses of orange juice. In summary, drinking green or white tea every day can help us reduce the free radicals in our bodies, keeping us young longer. The powerful shikuwasa. Shikuwasa is the citrus fruit par excellence of Okinawa, and Ogimi is its largest producer in all of Japan. The fruit is extremely acidic. It's impossible to drink shikuwasa juice without diluting it first with water. Its taste is somewhere between that of a lime and a mandarin orange, to which it bears a family resemblance. Shikuwasas also contain high levels of nobilitin, a flavonoid rich in antioxidants. All citrus fruits, grapefruits, oranges, lemons, are high in nobilitin, but Okinawa's shikuwasas have 40 times as much as oranges. Consuming nobilitin has been proven to protect us from arteriosclerosis, cancer, type 2 diabetes, and obesity in general. Shikawasas also contain vitamin C and B, beta-carotene, and minerals. They're used in many traditional dishes and to add flavor to food and are squeezed to make juice. While conducting research at the birthday parties of the town's grandparents, we were served shikawasa cake. The antioxidant canon for Westerners. In 2010, the UK's Daily Mirror published a list of foods recommended by experts to combat aging. Among these foods readily available in the West are vegetables, such as broccoli and chard, for their high concentration of water, minerals, and fiber. Oily fish, such as salmon, mackerel, tuna, and sardines, for all the antioxidants in their fat. Fruits, such as citrus, strawberries, and apricots. They're an excellent source of vitamins and help eliminate toxins from the body. Berries, such as blueberries and goji berries. They're rich in phytochemical antioxidants. Dried fruits, which contain vitamins and antioxidants and give you energy. Grains, such as oats and wheat, which give you energy and contain minerals. Olive oil, for its antioxidant effects that show in your skin. Red wine, in moderation, for its antioxidant and vasodilatory properties. Foods that should be eliminated are refined sugar and grains, processed baked goods, and prepared foods, along with cow's milk and all its derivatives. Following this diet will help you feel younger and slow the process of premature aging. Chapter 8. Gentle movements, longer life. Exercises from the East that promote health and longevity. Studies from the Blue Zone suggest that the people who live the longest are not the ones who do the most exercise, but rather the ones who move the most. When we visited Ogimi, the village of longevity, we discovered that even people over 80 and 90 years old are still highly active. They don't stay at home looking out the window or reading the newspaper. Ogimi's residents walk a lot, do karaoke with their neighbors, get up early in the morning, and as soon as they've had breakfast, or even before, head outside to weed their gardens. They don't go to the gym or exercise intensely, but they almost never stop moving in the course of their daily routines. As easy as getting out of your chair. Metabolism slows down 90% after 30 minutes of sitting. The enzymes that move the bad fat from your arteries to your muscles, where it can get burned off, slow down. And after 2 hours, good cholesterol drops 20%. Just getting up for 5 minutes is going to get things going again. These things are so simple, they're almost stupid, says Gavin Bradley in a 2015 interview with Bridget Schulte for The Washington Post. Bradley is one of the preeminent experts on the subject and the director of an international organization dedicated to building awareness of how detrimental sitting all the time can be to our health. If we live in a city, we might find it hard to move in natural and healthy ways every day, but we can turn to exercises that have proven for centuries to be good for the body. The Eastern disciplines for bringing body, mind, and soul into balance have become quite popular in the West, but in their countries of origin, they've been used for ages to promote health. Yoga, originally from India, though very popular in Japan, and China's Qigong and Tai Chi, among other disciplines, seek to create harmony between a person's body and mind so they can face the world with strength, joy, and serenity. They're touted as elixirs of youth, and science has endorsed the claim. These gentle exercises offer extraordinary health benefits and are particularly appropriate for older individuals who have a harder time staying fit. Tai Chi has been shown, among other things, to slow the development of osteoporosis and Parkinson's disease, to increase circulation, and to improve muscle tone and flexibility. Its emotional benefits are just as important. It's a great shield against stress and depression. You don't need to go to the gym for an hour every day or run marathons. As Japanese centenarians show us, all you need is to add movement to your day. Practicing any of these Eastern disciplines on a regular basis is a great way to do so. An added benefit is that they all have well-defined steps, and as we heard in Chapter 4, disciplines with clear rules are good for flow. If you don't like any of these disciplines, feel free to choose a practice that you love and that makes you move. Following, we'll take a look at some of the practices that promote health and longevity. But first, a little appetizer, a singularly Japanese exercise for starting your day. Radio Taiso. This morning warm-up has been around since before World War II. The radio part of its name is from when the instructions for each exercise were transmitted over the radio. But today, people usually do these movements while tuned to a television channel or internet video demonstrating the steps. One of the main purposes of doing radio taiso is to promote a spirit of unity among participants. The exercises are always done in groups, usually in schools before the start of classes, and in businesses before the workday begins. Statistics show that 30% of Japanese practice radio taiso for a few minutes every morning. But radio taiso is one thing that almost everyone we interviewed in Ogimi had in common. Even the residents of the nursing home we visited dedicated at least 5 minutes every day to doing it, though some did the exercises from their wheelchairs. We joined them on their daily practice, and we felt refreshed for the rest of the day. When these exercises are done in a group, it's usually on a sports field or in a large reception hall, and typically involves some kind of loudspeaker. The exercises take 5 or 10 minutes, depending on whether you do all or only some of them. They focus on dynamic stretching and increasing joint mobility. One of the most iconic radio taiso exercises consists of simply raising your arms above your head and then bringing them down in a circular motion. It's a tool to wake up the body, an easy mobility workout that is low in intensity and that focuses on exercising as many joints as possible. It might seem basic, but in our modern lives, we can spend days without raising our arms above our ears. Think about it. Our arms are down when using computers, when using smartphones, when reading books. One of the few times we raise our hands over our heads is when reaching for something in a cupboard or closet, while our ancestors were raising their hands over their heads all the time when gathering things from trees. Radio taiso helps us to practice all the basic movements of the body. Yoga. Popular in Japan as well as in the West, yoga can be done by almost anyone. Some of its poses have even been adapted for pregnant women and practitioners with physical disabilities. Yoga comes from India, where it was developed millennia ago to unite our mental and physical elements. The word yoga itself comes from the Sanskrit term for yoke, which refers to the crosspiece that binds draft animals to one another and to the cart they're pulling. Yoga strives to unite body and mind in the same way, guiding us toward a healthy lifestyle in harmony with the world around us. The main objectives of yoga are to bring us closer to our human nature, mental and physical purification, to bring us closer to the divine. Styles of yoga. Though all are oriented towards similar goals, there are many different types of yoga that vary according to the traditions and texts from which they were developed. The differences among them lie, as the masters say, in the path taken to the summit of our best self. Jhana Yoga. The yoga of wisdom, the search for discipline and mental growth. Karma Yoga focuses on action, on tasks and duties that benefit oneself and one's community. Bhakti Yoga. The yoga of devotion and surrender to the divine. Mantra Yoga focuses on the recitation of mantras to reach a state of relaxation. Kundalini Yoga combines diverse steps to reach the desired mental state. Raja Yoga, also known as the royal path, encompasses a range of steps geared toward achieving communion with oneself and others. Hatha Yoga, the most widespread form in the West and Japan, characterized by asanas or poses combined in a quest for balance. How to do a sun salutation. The sun salutation is one of the most iconic exercises in Hatha Yoga. To do it, you simply have to follow these 12 basic movements. 1. With your feet together, stand up straight, but keep your muscles relaxed. Exhale. 2. Place the palms of your hands together in front of your chest. From this position, inhale as you raise your arms above your head and bend backwards slightly. 3. Exhale as you bend forward until you touch the ground with the palms of your hands, without bending your knees. 4. Stretch one leg back to touch the floor with the tips of your toes. Inhale. 5. Bring the other leg back, keeping your legs and arms straight as you hold your breath. 6. As you exhale, bend your arms and bring your chest to the ground, and then forward, resting your knees on the ground. 7. Straighten your arms and bend your spine back, keeping the lower half of your body on the ground. Inhale. 8. With your hands and feet on the ground, lift your hips until your arms and legs are straight and your body forms an upside-down V. Exhale throughout the movement. 9. Bring forward the same leg you'd stretched back earlier and bend it so that your knee and foot are aligned under your head and between your hands. Inhale. 10. Exhale as you bring your back foot forward and straighten your legs, keeping your hands on the ground as in posture 3. 11. Bring your arms above your head with your palms together and bend backwards slightly as you did in posture 2 while you inhale. 12. Lower your arms to their initial position in mountain pose while you exhale. You've just greeted the sun. Now you're ready to have a fantastic day. Tai Chi. Also known as Tai Chi Chuan, Tai Chi is a Chinese martial art that can be traced back hundreds of years to Buddhism and Confucianism. It's very popular in Japan, too. According to Chinese tradition, it was created by the Taoist master and martial arts practitioner Chang San Feng, though it was Yang Luchan who in the 19th century brought the form to the rest of the world. Tai Chi was originally a neijia, or internal martial art, meaning its goal was personal growth. Focused on self-defense, it teaches those who practice it to defeat their adversaries by using the least amount of force possible and by relying on agility. Tai Chi, which was also seen as a means of healing body and mind, would go on to be used more frequently to foster health and inner peace. To encourage its citizens to be more active, the Chinese government promoted it as an exercise, and it lost its original connection to martial arts, becoming instead a source of health and well-being, accessible to all. Styles of Tai Chi. There are different schools and styles of Tai Chi. The following are the best known. Chen style alternates between slow movements and explosive ones. Yang style, the most widespread of the forms, characterized by slow, fluid movements. Wu style utilizes small, slow, deliberate movements. Hao style, centered on internal movements, with almost microscopic external movements, one of the least practiced forms of Tai Chi, even in China. Despite their differences, these styles all have the same objectives. 1. To control movement through stillness. 2. To overcome force through finesse. 3. To move second and arrive first. 4. To know yourself and your opponent. The 10 Basic Principles of Tai Chi. According to the master Yang Chengfu, the correct practice of Tai Chi follows 10 basic principles. 1. Elevate the crown of your head and focus all your energy there. 2. Tighten your chest and expand your back to lighten your lower body. 3. Relax your waist and let it guide your body. 4. Learn to differentiate between heaviness and lightness, knowing how your weight is distributed. 5. Relax the shoulders to allow free movement of the arms and promote the flow of energy. 6. Value the agility of the mind over the strength of the body. 7. Unify the upper and lower body so they act in concert. 8. Unify the internal and the external to synchronize mind, body, and breath. 9. Do not break the flow of your movement. Maintain fluidity and harmony. 10. Look for stillness in movement. An active body leads to a calm mind. Imitating clouds. One of the best-known movements in Tai Chi consists of following the form of clouds in an exercise called wave hands like clouds. Here are the steps. 1. Extend your arms in front of you with your palms down. 2. Turn your palms to face in, as though you were hugging a tree trunk. 3. Open your arms out to the side. 4. Bring the left arm up and center, and the right arm down and center. 5. Trace the shape of a ball in front of your body. 6. Turn your left palm toward your face. 7. Shift your weight to your left foot and pivot from your hip toward that side while your eyes follow the movement of your hand. 8. Bring your left hand to your waist and your right hand in front of your face. 9. Shift your weight to your right foot. 10. Pivot toward your right, looking at your raised right hand the entire time. 11. Repeat this movement fluidly, shifting your weight from one foot to the other as you reposition your hands. 12. Stretch your arms out in front of you again and bring them down slowly, returning to your initial position. Qigong, also known as Qi Kung. Its name combines Qi, life force or energy, and Gong, work, indicating that the form works with the individual's life force. Though relatively modern, especially under its current name, the art of Qigong is based on the Tao Yin, an ancient art meant to foster mental and physical well-being. The practice began to appear in reports on training and martial arts at the beginning of the 20th century, and by the 1930s was being used in hospitals. The Chinese government later popularized it, as it had done with Tai Chi. Qigong involves static and dynamic physical exercises that stimulate respiration in a standing, seated, or reclined position. There are many different styles of Qigong, but all of them seek to strengthen and regenerate Qi. Though its movements are typically gentle, the practice is intense. Benefits of Qigong. According to numerous international scientific studies, Qigong, like Tai Chi and yoga, offers significant health benefits. The following stand out among those proven through scientific research, as observed by Dr. Kenneth M. Sansir of San Francisco's Qigong Institute in his article, Medicinal Applications of Qigong. Modification of brainwaves. Improved balance of sex hormones. Lower mortality rate from heart attacks. Lower blood pressure in patients with hypertension. Greater bone density. Better circulation. Deceleration of symptoms associated with senility. Greater balance and efficiency of bodily functions. Increased blood flow to the brain and greater mind-body connection. Improved cardiac function. Reduction in the secondary effects of cancer treatments. Practicing these arts not only keeps us in shape, it also helps extend our lives. Methods for practicing Qigong. In order to practice Qigong correctly, we should remember that our life energy flows through our whole body. We should know how to regulate its many parts. 1. Tiao Shen. Regulating the body by adopting the correct posture. It's important to be firmly rooted to the ground. 2. Tiao Shi. Regulating the breath until it is calm, steady, and peaceful. 3. Tiao Xin. Regulating the mind. The most complicated part, as it implies emptying the mind of thoughts. Tiao Qi. Regulating the life force through the regulation of the three prior elements so that it flows naturally. 5. Qiao Shen, regulating the spirit. The spirit is both strength and root in battle, as Yang Jueng Ming explains in The Essence of Taiji Qigong. In this way, the whole organism will be prepared to work together toward a single goal. The five elements of Qigong. One of Qigong's best-known exercises is a series representing the five elements, earth, water, wood, metal, and fire. This series of movements seeks to balance the five currents of energy in order to improve brain and organ function. There are several ways to do these movements. In this case, we're following the model of Professor Maria Isabel Garcia Monreal from the Qigong Institute in Barcelona. Earth. 1. Stand with your legs apart and your feet directly below your shoulders. 2. Turn your feet outwards slightly to straighten the posture. 3. Keep your shoulders relaxed and down, and your arms loose at your sides, slightly away from your body. This is the Wu Qi, or rooted posture. 4. As you inhale, raise your arms in front of you until your hands are level with your shoulders, your palms facing down. 5. Exhale as you bend your knees and bring your arms down until your hands are level with your stomach, your palms facing in. 6. Hold this position for a few seconds, focusing on your breath. Water. Starting from earth posture, bend your knees into a squat, keeping your chest upright and exhaling throughout. 2. Press your coccyx downward to stretch your lumbar spine. 3. As you inhale, stand to return to earth posture. 4. Repeat twice for a total of 3. Wood. 1. Starting from earth posture, turn your palms upward and open your arms to the side, forming a circle as you inhale until your hands are level with your clavicle. Turn your hands so that your palms and elbows point downward while keeping your shoulders relaxed. 2. Reverse the movement as you exhale, making a downward circle with your arms until you reach your initial position. 3. Repeat twice for a total of 3. Metal. 1. Starting from earth posture, raise your arms until your hands are level with your sternum. 2. Turn your palms toward each other, about 4 inches apart, with your fingers relaxed and slightly separated, pointing upward. 3. As you inhale, move your hands away from each other until they are shoulder width apart. 4. As you exhale, bring your hands toward each other until they are back in position 2. 5. Repeat twice for a total of 3, observing the concentration of energy as you bring your hands together in front of your lungs. Fire. 1. Starting from earth posture, bring your hands level with your heart as you inhale, with one hand slightly above the other and your palms facing each other. 2. Rotate your hands to feel the energy of your heart. 3. Turn from your waist gently to the left, keeping your torso relaxed and your forearms parallel to the ground. 4. With your palms still facing each other, separate your hands, bringing one up until it is level with your shoulder and the other down in front of your abdomen. 5. Turn from your waist gently to the right, keeping your torso relaxed and your forearms parallel to the ground. 6. As you exhale, let your hands come back together in front of your heart. 7. With your palms still facing each other, separate your hands, bringing one up until it is level with your shoulder and the other down in front of your abdomen. Completing the series. 1. Starting from earth posture, inhale as you bring your hands level with your shoulders, palms facing down. 2. As you exhale, lower your arms to rest at your sides, returning to the initial Wu Qi posture. Shiatsu. Created in Japan in the early 20th century, principally for the treatment of arthritis, shiatsu also works on energy flow through the application of pressure with the thumbs and the palms of the hands. In combination with stretching and breathing exercises, it seeks to create equilibrium among the different elements of the body. The following quote is about the Dao Yin, a general term referring to the ancient arts meant to foster mental and physical well-being. It is not important that a Dao Yin have a name, is imitating something, or is engraved in jade. What is important is the technique and the essence of what is really practiced. Stretching and contracting, bending and lifting of the head, stepping, lying down, resting or standing, walking or stepping slowly, screaming or breathing, everything can be a Dao Yin. Ge Hong. Breathe better, live longer. The book Xiu Qian Shishu, known in the West as 10 books on the cultivation of perfection dates back to the 13th century and is a compendium of materials from diverse sources on developing the mind and body. It quotes, among others, the celebrated Chinese doctor and essayist Sun Simiao, who lived during the 6th century. Sun Simiao was a proponent of a technique called the Six Healing Sounds, which involves the coordination of movement, breathing, and pronouncing sounds with the purpose of bringing our souls to a place of calm. The six sounds are XU, pronounced like shh, with a deep sigh, which is associated with the liver. HE, pronounced like hr, with a yawn, which is associated with the heart. SI, pronounced like sir, with a slow exhale, which is associated with the lungs. CHUI, pronounced like chui, with a forceful exhale, which is also associated with the kidneys. HOO, pronounced like who, which is associated with the spleen. And XI, pronounced like xi, which connects the whole body. The following poem by Sun Simiao offers clues about how to live well according to the season. It reminds us of the importance of breathing and suggests that as we breathe, we visualize the organs associated with each of the healing sounds. In spring, breathe shh for clear eyes, and so wood can aid your liver. In summer, reach for her so that heart and fire can be at peace. In fall, breathe sir to stabilize and gather metal, keeping the lungs moist. For the kidneys, next, breathe chui and see your inner waters calm. The triple heater needs your xi to expel all heat and troubles. In all four seasons, take deep breaths so your spleen can process food. And of course, avoid exhaling noisily. Don't let even your own ears hear you. The practice is most excellent and will help preserve your divine elixir. It might feel confusing to be presented with all the Eastern traditions we've introduced in this chapter. The takeaway is that they all combine a physical exercise with an awareness of our breath. These two components, movements and breath, help us to bring our consciousness in line with our body, instead of allowing our mind to be carried away by the sea of daily worries. Most of the time, we're just not aware enough of our breathing. Chapter 9. Resilience and Wabi-Sabi. How to face life's challenges without letting stress and worry age you. What is resilience? One thing that everyone with a clearly defined ikigai has in common is that they pursue their passion no matter what. They never give up, even when the cards seem stacked against them or they face one hurdle after another. We're talking about resilience, a concept that's become influential among psychologists. But resilience isn't just the ability to persevere. As we'll hear in this chapter, it's also an outlook we can cultivate to stay focused on the important things in life, rather than what is most urgent, and keep ourselves from being carried away by negative emotions. In the final section of the chapter, we'll explore techniques that go beyond resilience to cultivate anti-fragility. Sooner or later, we all have to face difficult moments, and the way we do this can make a huge difference to our quality of life. Proper training for our mind, body, and emotional resilience is essential for confronting life's ups and downs. Nana Korobiaoki. Fall 7 times. Rise 8. Japanese proverb. Resilience is our ability to deal with setbacks. The more resilient we are, the easier it will be to pick ourselves up and get back to what gives meaning to our lives. Resilient people know how to stay focused on their objectives, on what matters, without giving in to discouragement. Their flexibility is the source of their strength. They know how to adapt to change and to reversals of fortune. They concentrate on the things they can control and don't worry about those they can't. In the words of the famous Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr, God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Emotional resilience through Buddhism and Stoicism. Siddhartha Gautama, Buddha, was born a prince of Kapilavastu, Nepal, and grew up in a palace surrounded by riches. At 16, he married and had a child. Not satisfied by his family's wealth, he decided to try a different lifestyle and ran away from the palace to live as an ascetic. But it wasn't asceticism that he was looking for. It didn't offer the happiness and well-being he sought. Neither wealth nor extreme asceticism worked for him. He realized that a wise person should not ignore life's pleasures. A wise person can live with these pleasures, but should always remain conscious of how easy it is to be enslaved by them. Zeno of Citium began his studies with the cynics. The cynics also led ascetic lives, leaving behind all earthly pleasures. They lived in the street, and the only thing they owned was the clothing on their backs. Seeing that cynicism did not give him a sense of well-being, Zeno abandoned its teachings to found the school of Stoicism, which centers on the idea that there is nothing wrong with enjoying life's pleasures as long as they do not take control of your life as you enjoy them. You have to be prepared for those pleasures to disappear. The goal is not to eliminate all feelings and pleasures from our lives, as in cynicism, but to eliminate negative emotions. Since their inception, one of the objectives of both Buddhism and Stoicism has been to control pleasure, emotions, and desires. Though the philosophies are very different, both aim to curb our ego and control our negative emotions. Both Stoicism and Buddhism are, at the roots, methods for practicing well-being. According to Stoicism, our pleasures and desires are not the problem. We can enjoy them as long as they don't take control of us. The Stoics viewed those who were able to control their emotions as virtuous. What's the worst thing that could happen? We finally land our dream job, but after a little while we're already hunting for a better one. We win the lottery and buy a nice car, but then decide we can't live without a sailboat. We finally win the heart of the man or woman we've been pining for, and suddenly we find we have a wandering eye. People can be insatiable. The Stoics believe that these kinds of desires and ambitions are not worth pursuing. The objective of the virtuous person is to reach a state of tranquility, apatheia, the absence of negative feelings such as anxiety, fear, shame, vanity, and anger, and the presence of positive feelings such as happiness, love, serenity, and gratitude. In order to keep their minds virtuous, the Stoics practiced something like negative visualization. They imagined the worst thing that could happen in order to be prepared if certain privileges and pleasures were taken from them. To practice negative visualization, we have to reflect on negative events, but without worrying about them. Seneca, one of the richest men in ancient Rome, lived a life of luxury, but was, nonetheless, an active Stoic. He recommended practicing negative visualization every night before falling asleep. In fact, he not only imagined these negative situations, he actually put them into practice. For example, by living for a week without servants, or the food and drink he was used to as a wealthy man. As a result, he was able to answer the question, "What's the worst thing that could happen?" Meditating for healthier emotions. In addition to negative visualization and not giving in to negative emotions, another central tenet of Stoicism is knowing what we can control and what we can't, as we see in the Serenity Prayer. Worrying about things that are beyond our control accomplishes nothing. We should have a clear sense of what we can change and what we can't, which in turn will allow us to resist giving in to negative emotions. In the words of Epictetus, "It's not what happens to you, but how you react that matters." In Zen Buddhism, meditation is a way to become aware of our desires and emotions, and thereby free ourselves from them. It's not simply a question of keeping the mind free of thoughts, but instead involves observing our thoughts and emotions as they appear, without getting carried away by them. In this way, we train our minds not to get swept up in anger, jealousy, or resentment. One of the most commonly used mantras in Buddhism focuses on controlling negative emotions. Om Mani Padme Hum, in which Om is the generosity that purifies the ego, Ma is the ethics that purifies jealousy, Ni is the patience that purifies passion and desire, Pad is the precision that purifies bias, Me is the surrender that purifies greed, and Hum is the wisdom that purifies hatred. The here and now and the impermanence of things. Another key to cultivating resilience is knowing in which time to live. Both Buddhism and Stoicism remind us that the present is all that exists, and it is the only thing we can control. Instead of worrying about the past or the future, we should appreciate things just as they are in the moment, in the now. The only moment in which you can be truly alive is the present moment, observes the Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. In addition to living in the here and now, the Stoics recommend reflecting on the impermanence of the things around us. The Roman Emperor Marcus Aurelius said that the things we love are like the leaves of a tree. They can fall at any moment with a gust of wind. He also said that changes in the world around us are not accidental, but rather form part of the essence of the universe, a rather Buddhist notion, in fact. We should never forget that everything we have and all the people we love will disappear at some point. This is something we should keep in mind, but without giving in to pessimism. Being aware of the impermanence of things does not have to make us sad. It should help us love the present moment and those who surround us. All things human are short-lived and perishable, Seneca tells us. The temporary, ephemeral, and impermanent nature of the world is central to every Buddhist discipline. Keeping this always in mind helps us avoid excessive pain in times of loss. Wabi-sabi and Ichigo Ichie. Wabi-sabi is a Japanese concept that shows us the beauty of the fleeting, changeable, and imperfect nature of the world around us. Instead of searching for beauty in perfection, we should look for it in things that are flawed, incomplete. This is why the Japanese place such value, for example, on an irregular or cracked teacup. Only things that are imperfect, incomplete, and ephemeral can truly be beautiful, because only those things resemble the natural world. A complementary Japanese concept is that of Ichigo Ichie, which could be translated as, "This moment exists only now and won't come again." It's heard most often in social gatherings as a reminder that each encounter, whether with friends, family, or strangers, is unique and will never be repeated, meaning that we should enjoy the moment and not lose ourselves in worries about the past or the future. The concept is commonly used in tea ceremonies, Zen meditation, and Japanese martial arts, all of which place emphasis on being present in the moment. In the West, we've grown accustomed to the permanence of the stone buildings and cathedrals of Europe, which sometimes gives us the sense that nothing changes, making us forget about the passage of time. Greco-Roman architecture adores symmetry, sharp lines, imposing facades, and buildings and statues of the gods that outlast the centuries. Japanese architecture, on the other hand, doesn't try to be imposing or perfect, because it is built in the spirit of wabi-sabi. The tradition of making structures out of wood presupposes their impermanence and the need for future generations to rebuild them. Japanese culture accepts the fleeting nature of the human being and everything we create. The Grand Shrine of Ise, for example, has been rebuilt every 20 years for centuries. The most important thing is not to keep the building standing for generations, but to preserve customs and traditions, things that can withstand the passage of time better than structures made by human hands. The key is to accept that there are certain things over which we have no control, like the passage of time and the ephemeral nature of the world around us. Ichigo Ichie teaches us to focus on the present and enjoy each moment that life brings us. This is why it's so important to find and pursue our ikigai. Wabi-sabi teaches us to appreciate the beauty of imperfection as an opportunity for growth. Beyond resilience, anti-fragility. As the legend goes, the first time Hercules faced the Hydra, he despaired when he discovered that cutting off one of its heads meant that two would grow back in its place. He would never be able to kill the beast if it got stronger with every wound. As Nassim Nicholas Taleb explains in Anti-Fragile, Things That Gain from Disorder, we use the word fragile to describe people, things, and organizations that are weakened when harmed, and the words robust and resilient for things that are able to withstand harm without weakening. But we don't have a word for things that get stronger when harmed, up to a point. To refer to the kind of power possessed by the Hydra of Lerna, to talk about things that get stronger when they are harmed, Taleb proposed the term anti-fragile. Anti-fragility is beyond resilience or robustness. The resilient resists shocks and stays the same. The anti-fragile gets better. Catastrophes and exceptional circumstances offer good models for explaining anti-fragility. In 2011, a tsunami hit the Tohoku region of Japan, doing tremendous damage to dozens of cities and towns along the coast, most famously Fukushima. When we visited the affected coast 2 years after the catastrophe, having driven for hours along cracked highways and past one empty gas station after another, we passed through several ghost towns whose streets had been taken over by the remnants of houses, piles of cars, and empty train stations. These towns were fragile spaces that had been forgotten by the government and could not recover on their own. Other places, such as Ishinomaki and Kisenuma, suffered extensive damage but were rebuilt within a few years, thanks to the efforts of many. Ishinomaki and Kisenuma showed how resilient they were in their ability to return to normal after the catastrophe. The earthquake that caused the tsunami also affected the Fukushima nuclear power plant. The Tokyo Electric Power Company engineers working at the plant were not prepared to recover from that kind of damage. The Fukushima nuclear facility is still in a state of emergency and will be for decades to come. It demonstrated its fragility in the face of an unprecedented catastrophe. The Japanese financial markets closed minutes after the earthquake. Which businesses did the best in the aftermath? Stock in big construction companies has been steadily on the rise since 2011. The need to rebuild the entire coast of Tohoku is a boon for construction. In this case, Japanese construction companies are anti-fragile, since they benefited enormously from the catastrophe. Now let's take a look at how we can apply this concept to our daily lives. How can we be more anti-fragile? Step 1. Create redundancies. Instead of having a single salary, try to find a way to make money from your hobbies, at other jobs, or by starting your own business. If you have only one salary, you might be left with nothing should your employer run into trouble, leaving you in a position of fragility. On the other hand, if you have several options and you lose your primary job, it might just happen that you end up dedicating more time to your secondary job, and maybe even make more money at it. You would have beaten that stroke of bad luck, and would be, in that case, anti-fragile. 100% of the seniors we interviewed in Ogimi had a primary and secondary occupation. Most of them kept a vegetable garden as a secondary job and sold their produce at the local market. The same idea goes for friendships and personal interests. It's just a matter, as the saying goes, of not putting all your eggs in one basket. In the sphere of romantic relationships, there are those who focus all their energy on their partner and make him or her their whole world. Those people lose everything if the relationship doesn't work out. Whereas, if they've cultivated strong friendships and a full life along the way, they'll be in a better position to move on at the end of a relationship. They'll be anti-fragile. Right now, you might be thinking, I don't need more than one salary, and I'm happy with the friends I've always had. Why should I add anything new? It might seem like a waste of time to add variation to our lives because extraordinary things don't ordinarily happen. We slip into a comfort zone. But the unexpected always happens, sooner or later. Step 2. Bet conservatively in certain areas and take many small risks in others. The world of finance turns out to be very useful in explaining this concept. If you have $10,000 saved up, you might put $9,000 of that into an index fund or fixed-term deposit and invest the remaining $1,000 in 10 startups with huge growth potential, say $100 in each. One possible scenario is that three of the companies fail. You lose $300. The value of three other companies goes down, you lose another $100 or $200. The value of three goes up, you make $100 or $200. And the value of one of the startups increases 20-fold. You make nearly $2,000, or maybe even more. You still make money, even if three of the businesses go completely belly up. You've benefited from the damage, just like the Hydra. The key to becoming anti-fragile is taking on small risks that might lead to great reward without exposing ourselves to dangers that might sink us, such as investing $10,000 in a fund of questionable reputation that we saw advertised in the newspaper. Step 3. Get rid of the things that make you fragile. We're taking the negative route for this exercise. Ask yourself, what makes me fragile? Certain people, things, and habits generate losses for us and make us vulnerable. Who and what are they? When we make our New Year's resolutions, we tend to emphasize adding new challenges to our lives. It's great to have this kind of objective, but setting good riddance goals can have an even bigger impact. For example, stop snacking between meals. Eat sweets only once a week. Gradually pay off all debt. Avoid spending time with toxic people. Avoid spending time doing things we don't enjoy simply because we feel obligated to do them. Spend no more than 20 minutes on Facebook each day. To build resilience into our lives, we shouldn't fear adversity because each setback is an opportunity for growth. If we adopt an anti-fragile attitude, we'll find a way to get stronger with every blow, refining our lifestyle and staying focused on our ikigai. Taking a hit or two can be viewed as either a misfortune or an experience that we can apply to all areas of our lives, as we continually make corrections and set new and better goals. As Taleb writes in Anti-Fragile, we need randomness, mess, adventures, uncertainty, self-discovery, hear traumatic episodes, all these things that make life worth living. We encourage those interested in the concept of anti-fragility to read Nassim Nicholas Taleb's Anti-Fragile. Life is pure imperfection, as the philosophy of Wabi Sabi teaches us, and the passage of time shows us that everything is fleeting. But if you have a clear sense of your ikigai, each moment will hold so many possibilities that it will seem almost like an eternity. Epilogue. Ikigai, the art of living. Mitsuo Aida was one of the most important calligraphers and haikuists of the 20th century. He is yet another example of a Japanese person who dedicated his life to a very specific ikigai, communicating emotions with 17-syllable poems using a shodo calligraphy brush. Many of Aida's haikus philosophize about the importance of the present moment and the passage of time. One could be translated as, "In the here and now, the only thing in my life is your life." In another poem, Aida writes simply, "Here, now." It is an artwork that seeks to evoke feelings of mono no aware, a melancholy appreciation of the ephemeral. The following poem touches on one of the secrets of bringing ikigai into our lives. Happiness is always determined by your heart. And one last one, also by Aida, is, "Keep going. Don't change your path." Once you discover your ikigai, pursuing it and nurturing it every day will bring meaning to your life. The moment your life has this purpose, you will achieve a happy state of flow in all you do, like the calligrapher at his canvas or the chef who, after half a century, still prepares sushi for his patrons with love. Conclusion. Our ikigai is different for all of us, but one thing we have in common is that we're all searching for meaning. When we spend our days feeling connected to what is meaningful to us, we live more fully. When we lose the connection, we feel despair. Modern life estranges us more and more from our true nature, making it very easy for us to lead lives lacking in meaning. Powerful forces and incentives, money, power, attention, success, distract us on a daily basis. Don't let them take over your life. Our intuition and curiosity are very powerful internal compasses to help us connect with our ikigai. Follow those things you enjoy and get away from or change those you dislike. Be led by your curiosity, and keep busy by doing things that fill you with meaning and happiness. It doesn't need to be a big thing. We might find meaning in being good parents or in helping our neighbors. There is no perfect strategy to connecting with our ikigai. But what we've learned from the Okinawans is that we should not worry too much about finding it. Life is not a problem to be solved. Just remember to have something that keeps you busy doing what you love while being surrounded by the people who love you. The 10 Rules of Ikigai. We'll conclude this journey with 10 rules we've distilled from the wisdom of the long-lived residents of Ogimi. 1. Stay active. Don't retire. Those who give up the things they love doing and do well lose their purpose in life. That's why it's so important to keep doing things of value, making progress, bringing beauty or utility to others, helping out, and shaping the world around you, even after your official professional activity has ended. 2. Take it slow. Being in a hurry is inversely proportional to quality of life. As the old saying goes, walk slowly and you'll go far. When we leave urgency behind, life and time take on new meaning. 3. Don't fill your stomach. Less is more when it comes to eating for long life, too. According to the 80% rule, in order to stay healthier longer, we should eat a little less than our hunger demands instead of stuffing ourselves. 4. Surround yourself with good friends. Friends are the best medicine. They're for confiding worries over a good chat, sharing stories that brighten your day, getting advice, having fun, dreaming, in other words, living. 5. Get in shape for your next birthday. Water moves. It is at its best when it flows fresh and doesn't stagnate. The body you move through life in needs a bit of daily maintenance to keep it running for a long time. Plus, exercise releases hormones that make us feel happy. 6. Smile. A cheerful attitude is not only relaxing, it also helps make friends. It's good to recognize the things that aren't so great, but we should never forget what a privilege it is to be in the here and now, in a world so full of possibilities. 7. Reconnect with nature. Though most people live in cities these days, human beings are made to be part of the natural world. We should return to it often to recharge our batteries. 8. Give thanks. To your ancestors, to nature, which provides you with the air you breathe and the food you eat. To your friends and family, to everything that brightens your days and makes you feel lucky to be alive. Spend a moment every day giving thanks, and you'll watch your stockpile of happiness grow. 9. Live in the moment. Stop regretting the past and fearing the future. Today is all you have. Make the most of it. Make it worth remembering. 10. Follow your ikigai. There is a passion inside you, a unique talent that gives meaning to your days and drives you to share the very best of yourself until the very end. If you don't know what your ikigai is yet, as Viktor Frankl says, your mission is to discover it. The authors of this audiobook wish you a long, happy, and purposeful life. Thank you for joining us, Hector Garcia and Francesc Miralles. You've been listening to Ikigai, The Japanese Secret to a Long and Happy Life by Hector Garcia and Francesc Miralles, narrated by Walter Dixon. If you've enjoyed this audiobook and this performance, then please visit our website, gildanmedia.com. That's GILDANMEDIA.com, where you'll find a wide selection of titles in business and finance, personal development, psychology, and much, much more. And thank you for being a Gildan audio listener.
This has been a Gildan audio production. For more affordable, mind-enriching programs, visit our website at gildanmedia.com.